Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the Internet or Daily Zeitgeisters. That's how you start this show, right? Wow, huge. This is Super Producer Anna, and I am joined by Super Producer Becca.
Hello, hello.
And we are doing an International Women's Day trending episode takeover. Uh-oh. Hold on, let's give a moment of silence for all the people who are about to turn this off. Perfect. There we are. We lost the weak ones. Oh, feeling good. Yes. Woo! Everyone who stayed, you guys are the true champions. And if you stayed, you're about to get the real tea behind Daily Zeitgeist. That's right. This is a Bravo style reunion of the two people who know exactly what's happening. And we're about to tell you everything.
Absolutely.
Just joking. Could you imagine?
We just come on here. We destroy the show. Jack comes back. Totally confused why all the tea's out. And we get canceled. So... Yeah.
And that's, you know, just how it goes. So it is Wednesday, March 8th. It is officially International Women's Day. You know, look, women, we have been here. And women identifying, that's right, shout out to every person who identifies as a woman in this world. We see you. We are here for you. And we're here to do an entire sort of trending episode about how women deserve more rights than men. That's right. We're not even feminists. We believe women deserve more rights. Yeah. We've moved beyond. We're like, men, catch a cab. I love to tell people to catch a cab. Anyway, so yes, it is Wednesday, March 8th, and we are here to tell you, actually, Becca, should we start with some like International Women's Day facts that you looked up and not I? So I'm going to let you take this portion.
To be quite honest, when I was like doing a little Google for the show, I was having trouble finding fun facts. I was like, can we get some... ladies facts, and truly they were kind of shitty, but a couple of them that I found interesting was, one, the first ever Women's Day was observed in the United States on the 28th of February in 1909 in commemoration of the 15,000 women who protested in New York against harsh working conditions, more working hours, and lesser wages. So let's thank those women who were, you know, in the Triangle Shirtwaist fires and things like that, that were really pushing for the first wave feminism rights, but obviously there was a lot of racism in all of that, so let's not give them too much credit.
Yeah, you know, Super Producer Brian, a man,
Fighting for women's rights, out, though.
Yes, he says, shout out Ada Lovelace.
He did
Ada
say Lovelace, off pod sorry. That he was fully in support of men not having rights. So
yeah, we did posit a world where we took men's like voting rights away for 8 years. But then we were also kind of like, wait a second, all the white women who voted for Trump could ruin
they
that
could ruin
sort
that for
of
us, so.
Experience for us. So
they'll take away the trans rights again. And like, that's not really what we're going for. So, you know,
yeah,
no
being
respect
a woman doesn't mean you're always the best person in the room. It just means that you have been othered in your life. But also you had another fact about how much money women make.
Oh yeah, this fact I feel like has not gotten better year after year after year. I was trying to find like a cute little graphic, couldn't find one, but I did finally read the Census Bureau's documentation of our lack of pay as women. Overall, women earn 82 cents for every dollar a man earns. Hispanic or Latino women, I'ma say Latine women, earn about 58 cents to the dollar, and Black women earn 63 cents for the dollar of every white man earned. So, needless to say, pay us more. This is embarrassing that every year we have this argument. They're like, oh my God, let's pay women. And then like, we get the same statistics every year. It doesn't change.
That's right. And your stats from that came from December 15, 2022.
Yeah. Like, literally, 2022? This is recent. It hasn't gotten better. Oh, and I don't know what those stats are for trans women and trans women of color. You know, they don't have those included because there's, you know, discrimination. And obviously, as much as we're being fun, silly little goofs, I want to be, you know, very transparent that support trans women, support, you know, especially Black trans women. It is a really rough time in the hellscape that is our political landscape for trans folks, especially Black trans women are always the most marginalized. So like, support all women, including trans women.
Yeah. And I guess the biggest thing is don't be a TERF.
Yeah. Don't be a TERF.
Don't do that.
That's a simpler way to put it. Don't be a TERF.
There's no reason. My biggest struggle in the like ever is just hearing people who are TERFs. And I recently did encounter one that shook me to my core because I did not realize this person would be one. But I was like, why are you so affected by this?
I'll never get it.
By a person identifying as a woman. There's no reason for it to affect you in any regard. And you know, that's why we need more media and content in the world about and being created by trans people, because it's
absolutely.
Like, you clearly have this issue with someone because they identify as a woman and you're just like flabbergasted by it. You can't wrap your mind around it. Well, have you ever spoken to a trans person? Have you ever listened to a trans person's story? Have you ever like actually gone out of your way to take in what their life is like or why they are identified? Like, you don't even care, which is why you're jumping to this conclusion that like it's this or it's that, I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, what are you bringing to the table other than negativity and hate for a human being
absolutely.
Who's just trying to live their life and survive in their truest like self.
Identity, like, yeah, it's like yeah. And it's like that is never easy to do. So what, like, why don't you believe trans women if it is fundamentally more difficult to live your life as a trans woman? You know, like,
yeah,
it's like there's no reason to not believe in their identity because it is so much easier to just stick with your cis identity if that is what you do or don't identify as, you know, like it is so much harder to transition. Yeah. Whether you do fully transition or not, you still are a woman as that is the way it is. And there's just no reason I don't see the argument, but I guess the argument that I have heard, I don't identify with this argument, is they feel that trans women encroach on like the inherent suffering that comes with having actual female anatomy. But I'm like,
it's like a threat. And you're like, it's not a threat.
And it's like, how is that a threat to your womanhood?
It actually has nothing
it
to
has
do
nothing
with you.
To do. If anything, I wish like, I didn't have these
nothing
issues
to do with you.
Yeah. I'm like, if I could not have a period, that'd be lit as shit. Like, I don't want to be on birth control ever again. This shit is evil. Get it out.
Yeah, and I think that's the toughest part is like, there is this person's experience and choices, if they are choosing to transition to be a woman, does not make you any less of a woman. It doesn't make you anything other than another human being who should have empathy
for that experience.
The human struggle.
Yeah.
to like want to feel whole and like themselves.
Absolutely.
And to also then be themselves in a public setting without judgment. It's like, that has nothing to do with you.
Nothing
you
to do with you.
You should also try and live yourself and be comfortable with yourself, because clearly you're not comfortable with yourself if you're attacking another person.
Absolutely.
So just saying.
And a lot of, I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about how, you know, a lot of these hormones that are necessary for trans people to feel whole, you know, these are hormones were developed for cis people originally. So it's like these arguments that they're making about the medical necessities and like the harmfulness for the bodies. It's just like all wrong, because these hormone replacement therapies and things were developed for cis people with like hormonal issues, like thyroid problems or, you know, dealing with, I don't know, any other medical issues that would complicate your hormone regularity. So it's like, these were developed for hetero bodies to begin with. So like, it's not harmful for trans people to receive the medical care that they desire. You know, it's like to get top surgery. It's like we've had mastectomies for so long too, you know, like, and that is for health purposes. So it's just so silly that all these medical procedures for trans people to feel safe in their bodies are being limited because of the damages, when in reality, the science was developed for cis people already.
Yeah.
Goofy.
Yeah. And I feel like as a country, we always find a way to other. And it's really, it's sad. You know, like another story that we're seeing right now is how the right is coming. The right and the conservatives are coming for drag and drag queens. And it's like, there is no reason to take a very beautiful performance. Like, you know, like it's a performance. These people work so hard.
It's a performance of femininity, for sure.
Yeah.
Like it's like.
And they like. It's art. It's literally art.
It's
like,
art.
I'm sorry. Can you go away, go into a back room and come out looking like some of these drag queens, their outfits, their hair, their makeup? They are literally creating new styles of like how to do your makeup. Like they are breaking barriers. And you're sitting here being like, the children, they can't see the drag queens. It's like, what are you talking about?
It's so crazy.
The children
crazy.
Are not being groomed. The children are not here being worried. You guys are putting out all these weird fake videos of drag queens performing for children, which is not the case. It's not real.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. Drag is a beautiful art form that like takes so much preparation and like also stamina. Like,
and
honey,
skill.
I can't perform anything.
So much skill. Like, I love drag. I'm a big drag fan. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I've watched many of the other spinoffs. What's the one that it's like the horror drag show that was on? I don't remember. Dracula.
Dracula. Yes. Thank you, Super Producer Bay. Shout out, Super Producer Bay.
Yes, I love Dracula. Dracula is my favorite because I love like the horror aspect of it. But it's like it requires like sewing, gluing, the creativity of designing these things. Like you are designers. Yes. You are seamstresses. You are makeup artists. You are like hairdressers. Like you're designing these wigs to be like like the skills that a lot of women have come from drag too. You know, it's like we cross over and learn from drag just as much as we learn from also Black women. Because let's be honest, like they're setting the standard, and then everyone else is pulling from, you know, Black women. So and Black trans women too. You know, it's like very specifically all comes back down to that. So. Fuck the haters. We're here for women.
Fuck the haters. Let these drag queens perform without creating unnecessary misinformation about who they are and what they do as artists. So have some respect.
Have some respect
for the people who literally create like the baseline of what performance then gets appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, open your eyes and also watch Drag Race. It's a great
literally
show.
I love Drag Race. I was watching Drag Race last night.
Honestly. And if you watch All Stars, All Stars, best of the best. All right. Let's actually take a let me just talk about All Stars for like 45 minutes. Let's take a quick ad break. And then we'll be back and we're gonna you know, talk a few more stories that involve women. Okay. All right. BRB.
Hey,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies, so you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at TomboyX.com.
And we are back. Guys, Becca pulled another story about the show Wednesday and Jenna Ortega. Would you like to kind of break down what this is?
So Jenna Ortega went on Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert. Armchair Expert, and kind of...
It's just called Armchair.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. Can you imagine? Like, he's just such armchair. A fool. He's like, my show's called Armchair.
Which, by the way, this is off topic, but did you see the image that they took for the Instagram for the show? Dax Shepard looks real odd in that image. Like, he looks like he's got, like, hella eyeliner on or something. It's like, wow.
I did not, but I will look it up right now.
He looks a little... I'm like, why is no one talking about that? I get it. The interview was very insightful, but I was really interested in that image being super wild. Jenna Ortega has been doing a little bit of press. She was on The Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, and she kind of goes into... what happened on Wednesday set. We had already heard rumors, I feel like, the past few months about how kind of inhospitable the set was. Like, she was fully performing while having COVID. Like, she was very, you know, not very well taken care of. She had to learn so much shit. Like, she was learning different languages. She was learning how to, you know, play the cello and, like, martial arts and fencing and all sorts of things. So the role was really like, wow, that woman is such a badass. But she kind of talks about on Armchair Expert how she was pushing these little bit of unprofessional boundaries by, like, literally changing the script behind writers' backs and then, like, using her own lines while she was doing it, because she was just like, I don't understand what they're doing with this character. Like, I signed on when I took this project, especially being a Tim Burton project, I thought it was for an adult audience. I did not know it was going to be for a young adult audience. And given the most recent roles she's been taking on, she has been doing way more serious work. So it makes sense that she would have chosen to sign on for the show when it was, you know, pitched to her as geared towards an adult audience versus a young adult audience. Like, she has been doing the Scream franchises. She's been pushing herself as a Scream queen, to be honest. She's been in quite a few horror movies lately. Her role on You is also pretty serious, even though that came from a CW, you know, original script. But that show is pretty dark. It's not for young adult audience by any means if you watched it. She was just like, as I was reading this, they've, like, turned Wednesday into this very two-dimensional character. Like, the storylines don't even make sense. Like, why would she be in a love triangle? She's kind of like an asexual human being. She was arguing with Tim Burton about how much emotion should Wednesday have, because I'm assuming Tim Burton didn't want Wednesday to have emotion and kind of make her this, like, wall of a person. But
Right.
Jenna Ortega was like, well, then she has no dimension if she has zero emotion, you know? And if you've watched the, you know, former IP of Adam's Family, Wednesday has, I mean, she's a dark, twisted character, kind of like almost Joker-esque, where she's like, her mind is just like, and she kind of has this like scary ass smile to her a little bit, like a little bit Uncanny Valley vibe. But yeah. She is an emotional character. Like, she chooses to act out in her own justices, and she isn't about, you know, I mean, she's about full chaos, but she is not about letting like bad people win, you know? That's like kind of her vibe. So kudos to Jenna Ortega. She's really young. She's also a brown woman in the industry. So for her to like be, you know, acting so aggressively while on set, I think it's like such a testament to where Gen Z is at today and how they are really changing the boundaries of like what it means to work in this industry and just like work in general and being able to stand up for themselves. So I'm a Jenna Ortega fan. And I honestly liked the show. I did. So I'm curious what it would have been like had it been what she had envisioned it was going to be. Because I enjoyed what it was. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. I will say I watched the first episode and I did feel potentially the show was for a younger audience. And so my partner kept watching it, but I did not continue.
Yeah.
I think because I was like, oh, I don't know if I need to see Wednesday like in high school or whatever. Yeah. I kind of backed off of it a little. But I am curious if it had gone the way she had originally thought, how it would be. And I actually am glad that she decided to risk sort of, you know, changing it up and stepping up and saying something. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, especially like our era of growing up, like when you are a woman of color or even just like a woman in general, when you start to like sort of point things out and be like, dude, what the fuck? This shouldn't be this way. Why is this happening? Can we change this? You know, the room turns on you sometimes.
Crazy. You're just replaced like all of a sudden.
You become a bit a lot. And I know you guys are like, it's a stereotype. It's a stereotype to an extent. But also, a lot of us have experienced this very clear sort of bias towards women and women of color when we want
speak out
to put ourselves out there and say something. Because you are automatically labeled a certain way. You're labeled as, like, you know, hard to work with, crazy, you know? And I recently was, I heard a story about someone, you know, a guy broke up with this girl and I was like, oh, like, is she okay? Like, what happened? And he just immediately was like, well, she was crazy. And I was like, I know this person.
Yeah.
She's not crazy. Why are you just saying she's crazy? Because that's like, it's just like almost like a blanket statement to just be like, to dismiss a woman, to be like,
absolutely.
Well, you know, she's crazy. And it's like, and maybe not acknowledge like a multidimensional person who you could not understand. So you're just dismissing her as crazy.
Absolutely. And not acknowledge maybe your role into like what made her feel, you know, difficult to work with or whatever. I know Anna and I, we've talked offline of our experiences with this type of behavior where it's like we have spoken out in other workplaces and been shafted for it, so to speak. Yeah. You know, like I've definitely experienced this deeply. So I am very proud of Jenna Ortega, and she, I mean, her, the fruits of her labor paid off. The show did really well and it got renewed for a second season. And it was just recently announced after this interview went out that she is going to be an EP for this next season. So,
oh, great. Good. Yeah. Maybe the show will be slightly different or progress in a different way. I'm excited to see what she does with it. And I'm, it's nice to see her coming up and getting her roles and also carving out a path that like in the past was considered almost like a low-end acting choice. I'm talking about being a scream queen.
Yeah.
For a very long time was looked down upon.
Yeah.
Like people would be like, oh, they're a scream queen. They're not a serious actor. But she's actually really working hard to change that
narrative
about what it is to be a scream queen or what it is to be a person who particularly likes being in horror films.
Yeah.
And good for her. Fuck yeah, Jenna. Keep doing you.
Yee.
All right, Becca, now we're at a very important part of the show. This is a spinoff of Anna's Streaming Corner. It's Becca and Anna's Movie Theater Corner. It's where we talk about a movie that we both saw in theaters and that we enjoyed.
We love.
And of course, we have to talk about Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Yes. Okay, if y'all listened, I covered Magic Mike XXL on the Bechdelcast a few weeks ago. Yes. I immediately saw Magic Mike.
Go listen to it right now. Stop and go listen. No, well, wait and then go listen.
Magic Mike Last Dance, honestly, it blew me out of the water. There was a standing ovation when I went. Like, the ladies were screaming in the theater. They were, like, looking up. Like, I went to the bathroom after, and there was a bunch of ladies who had seen it in the same theater. And they were like, so, yeah, let's, like, look up a strip club. Like, let's go. Like, can we see Magic Mike? Like, they were ready to get horny in public. And I was living. Yeah. How'd you feel, Anna? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I had a very similar experience in the theater. I went with a group of like 10 people, mostly women, two gay men. But, you know, look, we don't discriminate. You know, no, I'm just joking. But we went, and it was a theater filled with mostly women. And let me tell you, you know, and the straggling boyfriend here and there who's just
I had brought my straggling boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he was down to clown. He loved it.
Yeah. And so the theater going experience was incredible. Like, the energy in the room when Channing Tatum starts dancing is electric. Like, it is such a fun movie going experience. And I will tell you, I saw XXL in theater as well. Same experience.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And that energy, you don't really find that in theaters. And I will say, Magic Mike's Last Dance is a plot hole filled continuity, just narrative mess. I left
such
like,
a narrative
wait,
mess.
Okay, first of all, what was the story there? I don't understand what's going on. But the dancing was incredible.
It was like
the energy.
I feel like it took a learning from like every movie. Like, it built upon itself. It was like it took the critiques of like, we want more dancing, you know? And they were like, we're gonna give you more dancing this time. Because to me, Magic Mike XXL, not enough dancing. So they were like, we're gonna give you more shirtless Channing Tatum. And then they're bringing back the critique from, you know, movie one was like, we want more Channing Tatum. Because I feel like the like first movie, lot dancing, you know, and focus on Channing Tatum. And then the second movie was like more about the friends, not enough dancing.
Yeah,
and we just
the,
like
the second one was more of like a road trip movie.
Which it was fun
romp.
We loved it. Yeah. It was a fun romp. But this one, it was like, we're going to give you like step up vibes. Like, we're bringing it back to the roots of it all. Channing Tatum, step up, hotness, dancing. The wet dance scene was incredible.
Which fun. I have some fun insight on that. Which, yes, I agree. It was. It was almost also like the making, like an origin story of like what the Magic Mike live show is.
Yes.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
But okay, so that there's, and I guess this is a spoiler.
Spoiler. I mean, you should have known the second we said Magic Mike Last Dance, full of spoilers. Sorry, spoilers. I mean,
here's the thing, we can't spoil too much because there's not really any plot.
Yeah, there's not.
We can't like give you like real plot spoilers because that would need to include a plot. So, but what we're going to tell you is that there is a dance sequence that it's almost like a sexy in the water sort of like it's a dance that tells a story about a relationship.
It's kind of confusing why it comes up based on the like if you're watching the movie and they're doing the last dance, like the final act of the show that they have built over months in London. You're like, this doesn't go in the show, but we got to have a wet Channing Tatum scene. So
exactly, because the whole time Channing's like he does a big dance sequence at the top and then the rest, he's like, I'm not dancing in the show. And Salma Hayek's like, you gotta dance. I don't know. And then in the end, he's like, wait a second. I'm gonna do the sexiest dance possible. So he does the dance with a ballerina. And this ballerina, her name is Kylie Shay. She is a real ballerina. She's a choreographer. She's great at what she does. She did a very similar dance sequence with Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And it's that episode where he goes and does the dance. It's the same thing. It's in water. It's a very similar dance. It's a performance art piece and he's doing it for his father. I don't know if you guys saw that episode.
Yeah.
Hilarious episode. It's the same woman from that dance sequence. And they got her to come and do Magic Mike's Last Dance. And I was, when I learned this on Twitter, I was
having a field
day. I was
there.
So happy. I was like, yes, it's her. Because I, in the theater, who I was sitting next to, my friend Allie turned to me and goes, doesn't this remind you of the Always Sunny episode? And I go, yeah, it does. That's so funny. Yeah, he did do something like this. Turns out, same woman, because you know what? She knows art.
She knows okay. art, and she knows comedy. And you know what?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, it was a romp. Like I said in the episode of the Bechdel cast, it's like you watch Channing Tatum, you're like, this is a movie star. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
yes,
he's on the most talented actor, for sure. But that's not why we go see him. We see him because he's hot, and we see him because he's fucking charming as shit. And you're like, wow, you're watching it, you're like, God, I want to date him. Like, he's so himbo, you know? He's just like,
yes,
he's so fun.
Big himbo.
He's so beautiful. He's going to make you laugh. he's going to grind on you and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's like his body is going to gyrate in a way that you're like, what? Like, you're literally going to be confounded by the way his body is gyrating. That's all you could ever want.
And that's all you want. What was crazy to me about the movie was it was so jarring the way that they try to set it up, because like, you have this like British voice narrating the whole movie and you're like, what is this? Like,
I'll tell you,
this deterrent of path from these other two
that
movies.
Is a choice they made, and I'm assuming, because I actually haven't read this, that is a choice they made after the fact when they watched this movie and said, like, no one understands, no, there's no plot, so we're going to give a narration to the daughter of Salma Hayek explaining
who's a writer.
What's
she's
happening.
Like writing a book.
She's writing a novel. She's in high school. Whatever. She's got daddy.
She's rich and adopted
issues.
And has daddy yeah. and mommy issues.
And hates her parents for being like rich people
who are divorcing? And, question mark. Like Salma Hayek's yeah. like actively sleeping with Channing Tatum, but she's like, but we're like not together. Like me and my husband, like we're not together. Like we have an open marriage. And then he's like, I'm leaving you. And she's like, what? And he's like, and I'm shutting down your sexy man dancing.
Yeah, not clear what's happening there. But again, plot holes galore. So anyway, so they add this like narration by a young girl to like, I guess, try and tie the pieces. Let me tell you, the narration is so irrelevant to what's going on.
It's also so out of place. Like, you're like,
yeah. You're like, what is she talking about? The whole time I kept being like, I'm sorry, what is she talking about? Anyway, so that's the movie. Look, it is what it is, but great time. Let me
it
tell
was,
you. Great
it was literally,
time.
I want to go back and see it. I have not like literally had time to go back and see it, but I want to go see it again. Like, it is the most fun I've had seeing a movie in a long time. Like,
same.
I will say Everything Everywhere All at Once was one of the most impactful movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, I'm literally moved. I'm emotionally like exhausted. I'm never going to be yeah. able to feel my feelings as deeply as I've ever felt today. But if we're talking fun, this is the most fun I've had in a movie. Like, I truly was like sitting there like tee-hee-heeing. I was clapping. I was like, oh my God, Channing Tatum fucked Salma Hayek. Yes, we needed that. Because there was not enough sex in the last movie. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah, they really gave you sex. They gave you sexiness. They gave you dancing. They gave you Channing Tatum fun. They gave you Channing Tatum in real love. And it actually, like, it, like, made sense and it didn't make sense. Because, like we said, there's no plot. But, like, it made way more sense than it ever did in the first movie. Because, like, the first movie, I feel like they just, like, shoehorned in this, like, love plot at the end. But this movie, you're like, okay, you built the movie around these two people kind of like falling in love as they work together and fuck.
Right.
So you understood it and felt relieved by the end that it
Thanks
happened.
To Gen Z, and I am giving Gen Z this credit, there is no gratuitous sex scene in this movie.
No.
It's very much like they're like, ooh, I'm dancing. And then cut to in bed together. Yeah, we fucked. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see them fuck.
No.
I do know it's because Gen Z doesn't really need, they don't like gratuitous sex scenes, and they're changing the game, baby.
Absolutely.
They're like, HBO, get lost. Okay. I don't know. That's just like, I remember as a child always being like, there's a lot of titties on HBO. And my dad being like, yeah, just don't look.
I mean, no, that is true. Like, I mean, Euphoria is like a whole other beast of like, oh my God, like, why am I seeing a bunch of these?
Well,
in theory, teenage
the
dicks.
Of it all.
Yeah,
that's the Levinson like, of it all.
But
we don't have to get into the Levinson of it all.
And then, even in the first movie, I feel like there was like some gratuitous like.
Yeah, but
nudity.
That was early.
Yeah,
that movie was in the 2000s. When did that one drop?
It was. Victor, it was in.
You like, know all the Magic Mike dates, yes?
It was.
You'll let us know.
Gosh, 2012.
Told you, Victor knew. 2012, Victor knew. Victor always knows.
Yeah, it was 2012. Like that one, because I mean, that movie was just like really gritty. You were kind of like, what is going on? Like, they've very much evolved from that grittiness to being like, this
well,
is
that
a
one was low budget.
Yeah, it was low budget. It was very much giving Florida. It was giving like underbelly
yes,
vibe. But it's like they showed a lot of tits. In my opinion, if you're going to be that gritty of a movie, you needed to show more dick too. Sorry. It needs to be equal representation. This is feminism. Yeah. I want more dick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But by the end, I felt like this movie was tasteful and it was fun. Like the way they played off of like, it was giving you sexiness, but it wasn't giving you like, okay, this is going to get weird seeing this with anybody, you know, you could just enjoy it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was a, I gotta say again, a fun romp.
And I want to go see it again. And your boyfriends will enjoy it. I'm sorry. Or maybe they won't, but mine did. He was like,
yeah.
He literally, like, I was on the phone with him yesterday and he was like, Becca, that was such a good movie. Like, he was like, he went back and watched Magic Mike XXL and
the
first Magic Mike and then listened to my podcast because he's a supportive king. And he was just like, those are good movies.
They are good movies.
He was like, these are good movies.
These are fucking good movies.
And we stand.
Well, we'll say number one, that's a good movie. Number two, fabulous movie. Number three, great movie, no plot. So you know what? You take it for what it is.
But that's what's fun too, because sometimes shit is just so serious. And you're like, I just want to like turn off my brain, but not feel like
yes.
gross that I turn off my brain. Like sometimes I feel with reality TV, like I'm like, oh, I've just like internalized like so much misogyny on screen of these men yeah. gaslighting these women in their bikinis at the beach. You know?
Yeah.
And you can feel a little bit better. Because Channing Tatum, he's like, even in the second movie, he has this like really weird line where she's like, yeah, if like he was talking to Amber Rose and she's talking about God and he was like, wow, your God's not a woman. And I was like, honestly, that was even before Ariana Grande's song came out. So like, we stan a king. God is
we
woman.
We stan a God is woman king. All right, guys. And you know, I'm going to end this right now and say tonight I'm going to go see Magic Mike live because I'm in Vegas for work.
Hell,
and I figured,
yes.
You know what? Let me just convince Joelle Monique to go to the show.
Please.
So we're fucking doing it. Okay. So we will report back about the.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it. I'm jealous.
And more importantly, the choreography.
Of course. We must focus on the art that is the choreography of these men.
The choreography. Okay. And I will. Yeah, I'll report back. But yeah, guys, that has been today's trending episode for International Women's Day, Wednesday, March 8th. Hey, guys, go hug a woman. Well, okay, with consent, with consent, with consent. Or, you know, give your significant other or even just a friend, a woman or a woman identifying person, $20 bill. Give them
$20
bill. Yeah,
literally say buy a woman dinner and expect nothing from them. Pure reparations. Give
just
them
be
money.
Respectful.
Be respectful. Give them flowers. Give them dinner, give them wine, and then leave them the fuck alone. Like, literally, don't talk to them.
And then expect fucking nothing.
Expect
all right,
nothing.
Guys, that's been the episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Have a great Wednesday. I know Jax has about a lot of stuff at the end of this. I can't remember any of it. So let's
be
just
kind to yourself.
Jax
be kind to others. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we'll
go.
Catch you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Oh, yes. And tomorrow's schedule, we will return to normal. Sorry we missed some episodes. Look.
We're not perfect.
Things happened. Okay? All right. It's Jack was at Magic Mike. That's why the episode didn't get recorded. You didn't hear from me. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com.